This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Because equality is not negotiable.
Ladies and gentlemen, Midsummer, we are well underway. Amazing people out to see the day. The sun is shining through the clouds, so we're having lots and lots of fun.
Well, with Pride March being absorbed by Midsummer, the relationship between the City of Port Phillip and Pride March has had to change somewhat. Tracy Slatter is the CEO of the City of Port Phillip, and you're now entering a sponsorship arrangement with Midsummer. Tell us how that transition has been for you.
Yeah, well, City of Port Phillip has sponsored the Pride March since 1996, and this is its 20th year marching down Fitzroy Street in St Kilda. But this year is the first year that Pride has come under the banner of Midsummer. It's being run by Midsummer. So we had some really good and constructive discussions with Midsummer during the course of 2014, and we agreed that we wanted to maintain our relationship with Pride sponsorship, but that we also wanted to sponsor Midsummer. So we've really stepped up a notch, and City of Port Phillip's proud to be a major sponsor of Midsummer.
Why is it so important for Pride March to be in the City of Port Phillip?
Well, Pride's always been in the City of Port Phillip. I think it's the City of Port Phillip's an incredibly vibrant and diverse community, and we not only accept everybody, no matter who they are, what they are, what they do, we celebrate it, and we celebrate it big time. And Pride's really a big statement about that. The streets are absolutely lined with people cheering on the community as we march. And I know in 2013, when I marched for the first time as a parent as part of the Rainbow Family group, it was just a really moving experience to have that sense of a community really standing up and cheering you on.
For someone that was there back in the early days, I know that the City of Port Phillip put quite a bit of money into assessing where Pride March played out economically amongst the traders, and if I recall correctly, that one afternoon tended to do much better for the Fitzroy Street traders than the entire Grand Prix weekend. That was 20 years ago. How does it play out these days amongst the traders?
Well, there's a really fantastic relationship between the traders and the Midsummer, and I know there's been some really good discussions between them in the lead up to this year's event. We want to showcase what we've got to offer at the City of Port Phillip, and especially in St Kilda. The traders want to do that. They've got such a lot to offer there, both in terms of accommodation, cafes, music, different arts venues and so on. There's so much there, and so the traders have had some great discussions with the Midsummer organisers to make sure that partnership's a really strong one.
Well, one thing is for sure, Pride March wouldn't exist without the tremendous support that the City of Port Phillip has given over the years. Tracy Slatter, CEO, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thank you, it's been a pleasure.
I have some gorgeous boys handing out flyers in their pink feathers over there, so if anyone wants one, they can grab one. Can you please welcome the one, the only, Joey Durbin!
Happy Midsummer, everyone. I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. This dress I'm adoring, but I tell you what, it's much heavier than I am.
Matt McDonald heads marketing for Yarra Trams. Their current campaign sees a couple of tram stops glammed up for Midsummer 2015. Matt, what is the purpose of this, and why the ongoing relationship with Midsummer?
It's really about taking Midsummer to the streets of Melbourne, opening up to people who may not know what Midsummer's about, and there's this great all-inclusive festival that people can be a part of.
How many years has it been now that Yarra Trams has had a relationship with Midsummer?
I think this is year number six, and we've sort of kind of tried a few different things each year, tried to bring something a little bit different, so the glamming of the tram stops was a lot of fun.
It always puts a smile on my face when I see the front of one of those trams pass by, and there's a little Midsummer sign on the front, and it fills me with joy. What does Yarra Trams get out of something like this? Is it about more commuters? What's it about?
We certainly encourage people to go to Midsummer events by tram, but it's also showing us as a community that's intensely a part of Melbourne and all of Melbourne in its wonders, its excitements, its attractions.
Well, you have an ambassador this year. It was a bit of a risk.
A tram-bassador.
A tram-bassador, no less. Now, is she doing a good job? Dolly Diamond is who we're referring to.
Dolly Diamond has been fabulous. She helped us slam up the tram stop. She's been out
there. Is she responsible for those bloody things?
Look, no, not quite, but she's got a dress which has got all these little mini trams on it. She's jumped in with both high heels, let me tell you.
So Yarra Trams has paid for that outfit, clearly, and rightly so. Congratulations on a great campaign. Have you signed up for another 3 years, or what's the deal?
Deals are not yet done, but, you know, there's clearly a lot of interest and support. Lots of people have been coming up and saying the glam shots are fantastic, so we look forward to Midsummer 2016.
Mac McDonald, Marketing Manager for Yarra Trams, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thanks, Dean.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make some noise for your champions of Midsummer. We're here to not only celebrate, but also to agitate. What do we have to celebrate? Well, so much. Just in the last decade, we've seen the removal of 82 discriminatory federal laws, laws that discriminated against us and our relationships. We've seen the equalising of age and consent laws across the states. We've seen the expunging of criminal records for people just because they were gay. But we still need to agitate. Why do we need to agitate? Well, here in Victoria, there's still work to be done by the new government. Adoption equality in New South Wales came in just a couple of years ago, and that enabled our young teenage daughter to be adopted by Jackie and me. And it meant so much for her to have the stability of her family life. And that's something that I would very much like to see happen in Victoria. We also see the continuing protection of so-called faith-based organisations from discrimination in employment. Federally, marriage equality is still on the table. Jackie and I started talking about this and agitating for this back in 1998, and here we are in 2015. It could happen this year, it could happen in 5 years, it could happen in 10 years, but it will happen. Most importantly, we need to develop a global consciousness. We saw in New Zealand the way to go with marriage equality. Just yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United States announced that they are going to review the bans on marriage equality. And that's a huge step forward to marriage equality across the whole United States, where 70% of residents of the United States live in states where you can be legally married. But just as we have so much to celebrate, we also have to recognise that any act of hate or discrimination in any part of the world also is an action against us. Any LGBT person anywhere in the world, we must stand with. We stand with the Ugandan LGBT community still facing the possibility of a life sentence because of their sexuality. We stand with the gay men executed by ISIS this week by being thrown off a high-rise building. We stand with every young person who ever thinks that they need to take their own life because of their sexuality and what that might mean to their life. We stand with the gay and lesbian community of Russia who are facing increased marginalisation and violence. The world is not a safe place for many of us in the LGBT community. And so while we celebrate the gains that we have made here in Australia, while we are fighting legitimately for full equality, others are fighting for their very survival. We stand with them as we stand up for ourselves. Happy Midsummer Festival, happy Carnival, and thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Aaron Pelt.
I drew the short straw, so I have to go after that, which is pretty tough. I was listening to a large group of young gay people recently, and they were saying, why do we need to have our own festival and our own carnival and our own march? Is it really that important? And it stuck with me. So firstly, I think it's amazing that young people are being more accepted and they don't feel that they need that. But the more the week rolled on after that, I saw, and I'm sure most of you saw, a Facebook video of two twins coming out to their dad on the telephone. And everybody said, isn't that a wonderful video of how accepting he was? And I didn't see it as that. I saw it as such a tragic video the pain and the fear on the face of those two boys for just saying who they are. They weren't saying they'd committed a crime or killed someone or done something horrific. So I say to that young group, congratulations for the stand that you're making, that you feel that you're accepted in every way. But yes, we do need to have our own carnival. We do need to have our own festival. We do need to have our own march until children can tell their parents who they are without fear of being rejected. Until we can marry whoever we want, wherever we want, wherever we want, or not, if that's your preference.
And I will warn you, I have not been drinking, which makes me a difficult character to deal with. You upstaging bitch. Lie down in the blanket that you're wearing. You look gorgeous. What a beautiful figure. Get out.
Steve Barrow is the executive sponsor of Pride at NAB. What does that mean, Steve?
It's fantastic. This is the third year that we've supported Midsummer. We're really proud to be here and connecting with the community. Our theme for this year is all about truth and dare and connections. It's about honesty and integrity and allowing people to be themselves, which we really value.
Tell me how that plays out amongst your staff and in the corporate world.
Oh, well, that's a fantastic question. This is about being able to be yourself. It's about demonstrating to our customers, the communities, and our people that actually it doesn't matter. You know, it's about diversity and being inclusive of everyone, creating an environment that everybody wants to come and work at NAB, and our customers love banking with us.
That's a long, long way from call centres in the Philippines.
Great question.
Is that about evolution? Is that about trying things and learning that perhaps that wasn't the way to go? What is that about?
So within Australia and for our business, we stand for core values, and we want those values out across our whole group globally. Some of the environments that we operate in have different cultures. It's about how you influence those and hold true to what our core values are about.
I guess if you've got staff working for you that are happy to be working for you and engaged and feel comfortable to be themselves, that in itself would create a point of difference within the banking sector.
Yeah, it does. It does. That said, I think Australian organisations generally on this path, if I look at the last few years, the amount of conversation about LGBTIQ inclusion within Australia has changed dramatically. At NAB, we absolutely hold to those values. Also, some of the other organisations, corporates that are represented here today, such as Telstra, have very similar great diversity inclusion programmes.
IBM has had a sexual diversity policy since the late 50s. It's good to see some of the rest of them are catching up. Steve, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thanks very much for that.
All right, apparently they asked me to move swiftly on. So, of course, I'm now going to do an Enya medley.
My role here is twofold. I'm both Victoria's first and I think Australia's first Minister for Equality with a focus on LGBTI issues. To make sure that a justice framework that brings richly deserved and too long delayed justice for LGBTI Victorians is achieved, my goal is to make sure that I don't have a job in 4 years when it comes to this portfolio, because LGBTI Victorians' rights will be at the heart of everything government does and everything the Victorians rightly accept, on the same basis that sexuality, gender, diversity and discrimination is built out of our system. So it's with great pride and honour that I introduce the Premier of Victoria, Daniel Andrews. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and it's a great pleasure, a great honour for me to be here today representing the Victorian Government and the Victorian Labor Party as the Premier of this great state. It is my view that we should never settle until every Victorian can feel safe and confident to be exactly who they are. Exactly who they are. No more, no less. That's my vision. That is the government we'll lead. That is the reform and the change that we will make, because the progressive capital of our nation deserves nothing less. Nothing less. And how will we do that? We will deliver adoption equality. We will deliver adoption equality. We will ensure that Victorian law recognises, without any difficulty or any administrative encumbrance, international marriage. We will make sure that happens. We will make sure that every school is a safe school. Every school. We will appoint a Commissioner for Gender and Sexuality within the Equal Opportunity Commission, because these issues of discrimination and bigotry and hatred need to be appropriately addressed. They need to be given the dedicated attention and profile that I'm proud to say our government will deliver. We're going to review every act of the Victorian Parliament, every single one, to make sure that any vestiges of the past, any ghosts of the past in terms of discrimination and that bigotry I just spoke about, are written out of the statute books, are taken off the statute books. That's the Victorian way. That's the Labor way, I'm proud to say. We're going to reverse the changes that were made to the Equal Opportunity Act. We will reverse them in full. We voted against them not once but twice, and we will repeal them. That is to say, we have a clear mandate to introduce those changes, and we will, and we hope that the Parliament understands, all the different members of the Parliament understand, that the Parliament got this badly wrong a couple of years ago, and we will right that wrong by removing those regressive changes to the Victorian Equal Opportunity Act. This is, I think, an important agenda, and the time is right to deliver on that agenda. As I said at the outset, we can be proud of everything that we have built in Victoria, a harmonious community, not a community that tolerates, but instead celebrates the diversity within our community. That's my view. That's what drives me. We will deliver on each and every one of the commitments that we have made. Because equality is not negotiable. And to that end, can I say to you that I will remain a strong supporter of marriage equality. And I will continue to advocate to colleagues at the federal jurisdiction that the time has come to make that change. It's such an important change to make, not one that we can do at a state level, but we will be a champion of that cause, and we will make sure that everything we can do to achieve that outcome we do over the next 4 years. Just finally, as I said, equality is not something that can be done in part. If you're for equality, then you're for it everywhere. If you're for inclusion and respect and decency, then be for it everywhere. Happy Midsummer.
Oh, nearly, I nearly made a novice mistake.
Well, Midsummer 2015 started out a little bit slow, but it looks like a bloody good crowd, and the sun has come out and all things are shining. Aaron Hockley is the president of Midsummer. Have we got any figures as to how many people have turned up today?
We estimate about 100,000 by 5 p.m, with a few more thousand estimated for tea dance.
Wow, that's pretty fantastic, actually. Yeah. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it was a bit of a slower start to the day. We started the entertainment hour later, so there are people arriving a little bit later, but up to our peak time of the day, we probably had about 60,000 people as opposed to our normal 50,000. We had a lot of people come through for a short space of time, people with families, people who just came to hear the Premier speak, people who came because they had an official function or a duty today. So yeah, thrilled.
Your champions this year in Dr. Karen Phelps and John Caldwell, they spoke very, very eloquently, and they really captured the entire crowd, I think.
Yeah, I think the crowd was hugely receptive to their message of we've come a long way, but there's still a way to go. to the challenges for government in relation to adoption and same-sex marriage in particular, and to their story as champions of our community.
Midsummer had a couple of challenges in the lead-up to the 2015 festival, with the former festival director leaving and with taking on board Pride March as a new entity to have to deal with. How's it coming together?
Well, it's a credit to the former festival director that she'd built a great team that was able to keep going, and they really guided our current acting festival director, Tennille, through what has been a very successful start. So we haven't really had any hiccups, we haven't really noticed much of a change, to be honest, and that's a credit to both Monique and Tennille to their work. In relation to Pride March, it's a bit too early to say how that's going to run, but we're really excited about some changes that we can make to bring the march up, to make it more relevant to people. We are expecting the biggest turnout we've ever had, and the reasons for that are Carnival's bigger than we've ever had, we've involved more community groups than we've ever had, and as of yesterday we've had 120 registrations, which is our largest ever. So Pride March, the 20th year of Pride March, looks to be a very successful event.
Well, all in all, 2015 is shaping up to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest ever in Midsummer's history. Congratulations to you and the board, and also to Tennille. She's been a delight to work with, and she's been willing to engage and to deliver and to really connect with the community. I'm looking forward to hosting the Midsummer Festival Forum next Tuesday, and I'm sure you'll be on the panel, will you?
We'll be on the panel. And that is a real opportunity for people in the community to express their views. You know, we on the board are really only here for one reason, and that's to serve the community. We don't receive any financial benefit from it. We're only here because we want to improve the festival. We can't do that without people's views. That's a great way to do it. You can also email us, contact us. We are very receptive to feedback, and we will respond to it.
It's such an important opportunity. In fact, one of the few opportunities that you have to really make a difference to the future of this festival. And I encourage you to do it. Looking forward to that next Tuesday. Aaron Hockley, thank you very much for joining us on Joy.
Thank you, Dean, and thank you for your support.
If you're for equality, then you're for it everywhere. If you're for inclusion and respect and decency, then be for it everywhere.
Because equality is not negotiable.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.